be back with you on this first month of our new ministry year. We at SRBC are like the nation of Israel. They have their new year starting in September right now, and our new ministry year starts off in September. So really, we're going into ministry year 2024 as of this month. And we all get together in September and prepare for all of that as a church. And as the pastor of the church, every year I ask God for wisdom for what should be the theme of the year. And our theme this year is Go Through Your Open Doors in 2024. And so since this is the first Sunday, my wife and I are back from celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, and I can say I'm more in love with my beautiful wife than ever before. Amen. It gets sweeter as the years go by. I can thank God for marriage, and what holds our marriage together is Jesus Christ. Marriages have struggles, they have problems, but Jesus is the problem solver. And it's all right here, and he can make that marriage sweet. And so I thank God we could celebrate that, and I am hoping that God would use us in the days ahead to spurhead more good marriages that are built on Christ and more homes that are built on Christ and the Word of God. But I would like to take from our scripture reading one verse this morning for our theme verse, and it's verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 16. So if you look at that with me, verse 9, here it is. It says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now that door is what we're going to preach on, what the Lord opens for you as you serve Him, as you know Jesus Christ. It's a door of opportunity to serve Jesus, and He does that. But before I look at verse 9, I want you to look with me at verse 8 this morning. And let me read that and you follow. It says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." If you're going to have a door of opportunity to serve Jesus, you've got to tarry first. And what does tarry mean? It means to stay in your place, to stay where God has put you, to stay at what God has given you to do, to be faithful where you are, or as I like to say, to bloom where you're planted. Amen? And keep doing it. I want to warn you this morning about voices that will try to lure you away from your ministry here in the church. I think Brother Sarge, he's here, and he was saved through my soul winning. When was that, Sarge? All right. He knows right where it was on Madison Avenue in 1988, the 13th of February. 16th. Good. I don't like the 13th. 16th of February. And I remember the day well, knocking on his door. And he came to the door, and I had an open door to give him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we benefit from that because he makes some delicious meals on watch night, and you ladies don't have to do the dishes, you don't have to cook. You can thank me too for that. I'm teasing. I'm teasing, don't actually clap. But Sarge has stayed with it. And I'm sure he would tell you that he's heard voices that would try to lure him away. And I want to alert you to the problem of voices that come to you to try to get you to relax your commitments, to step back from your hold on the ministries, the soul winning ministries that the Lord has given you or will give you. If the Lord is going to open up doors of opportunity for you to be used here in serving Him, then let me say this, you must be faithful. The Lord counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, the apostles. You must be faithful and consistent like the apostle Paul. Now, it happened to me in the 1970s. It happened to me, not that I was lured away to go to a honky-tonk or something like that, but in the 1970s, I had been going to Bible college at a Baptist college, and I was graduating. Bruce, you're here. Good to see you. I was graduating. I heard you were at McDonald's this week with Joe and Luke. And they were not there primarily to eat. They were primarily there to tell people about Jesus. But I was graduating in 1976. Many of you have heard me talk about this. And it obviously made an impression on me. So I'm going to say it again. I was on my way serving the Lord here, had many ministries here, was ordained already to preach here in this church, was serving with the pastor, Dr. Charles Ware, had been a deacon, Sunday school teacher, superintendent, and like assistant in so many things. Preached. But I heard voices and they said, now listen, you've graduated from college, you have your bachelor's degree, it's time for you to go out now. It's time for you to get under Charles Ware's shadow. You go out there and you start your own church. It's time for you to do that. And so I was going out to Grand Rapids, driving out there, and I met with a missions leader of Hiawatha Baptist Missions, and he wanted me to go out and plant churches and raise support to do that, and I was ready to do that. But you know what happened? I got pulled over, not by a cop, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulled me over. And he read me, not the riot act, but he read me from this scripture, and I'm going to quote it to you. It's in Revelation chapter 3, and here's the scripture, and you have it up there. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Well, you know what the seven spirits of God is. That's all the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And the seven stars are angels or messengers, those that give the message in the local church or the pastors of the church. He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The word perfect there means I have not found your service toward God in the church there in Sardis. I've not found it that you've completed it. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Now look up here, guys. Look up right up here. I'm preaching. Hey, look up here. I'm preaching. I want your attention. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. Because God's got a message for you. And you need it. You sorely need it. And so what I'm saying this morning is that the Lord pulled me over and he said, your work is not complete, Randy. You've got more to do in Scranton. By the way, life is not all play. My wife and I played. We're tired from playing. We had so much fun. Life is work. Right? Serving the Lord is work. It's work. It's hard work. And you have to stay at it. And so I got involved in that work. And it's been 50 years or so. And I have tarried here in Scranton. And I'm so glad that I did, because I was just talking to Mrs. Bajeski. If I would have left years ago and come back for 2 weeks, it would have been a mess. I'm so thankful I can leave now and, as the angel of the church, appoint messengers to give a message when I'm gone and know that it's going to be blessed. And know you're in good hands. By the way, when I went down to Florida, we found a church on vacation. Get in church. I got an independent, fundamental, King James church, Baptist church, got in there, and the pastor was there for, I don't know, probably 50 years. But he's having voice problems. And he told me, he said, I've got four men in the church I can count on to preach. Well, I had five so that when I left. And they did a good job. Amen. And I thank God for that, because if I wouldn't have tarried, my works wouldn't have been complete. And the men wouldn't have been complete. And they couldn't help others. And so, you see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about others. We're here for others. Joy is Jesus, others. And then you. You know why a lot of people aren't happy? Joyous is a better word. Because they're not about others. They're all about themselves. And you get all caught up on yourself, and you're not going to be very, very happy. Now, the Lord will give you a break. He'll give you a rest, and we had a wonderful time. But that's R&R, so we can get back to the work. And I'm trying to say that you have to tarry in the work in order to get these opportunities like these men got to preach. There are men here that could preach and so forth, but they ought to be able to preach and ought to be able to teach a Sunday school class or something to do like that, but they can't do it because they haven't tarried. They haven't stayed with the man of God. They haven't stayed with the Word of God. They haven't stayed faithful to the work of God. And so I want to challenge you this morning that God used that verse on me, and that verse about tarrying is very important, and God blessed me when I learned to do that. Now, when we talk about open doors, you know, we have open doors. When we talk about open doors, Dr. Rembert Bird Carter, PhD at the University of Edinburgh, who taught our Baptist foundations in college and who taught Western civilization and was a great teacher, he said this: you need to watch for whose hand is on the open door for you, the nail-pierced hand of your Savior or the cloven hoof of the devil. If you're opening a door to go somewhere and do something, and it doesn't have to do with an independent fundamental Baptist church being a good part of that, watch out for that one. Watch out for that one. I'm just saying, watch out for that. It could be a person in your life, a guy. You ever have that problem? I've been out more than once and run into a gal, and she's got a guy with her. And I say, who's this? Oh, my boyfriend. Or my friend. Which means my boyfriend. And I say to him, can I ask you two brief spiritual questions? And so often I get the answer back, yes, I'm not saved. And I really don't want to talk to you, preacher. If he doesn't want to talk to a preacher and believe the gospel, you dump him. Like a New York minute, whatever that is. It's quick. But I'm just saying, dump him, because I've had people, they don't dump them. And the guy gets away from me because he doesn't want to be around me, and she figures out a way to shut me out and go with the guy. Dumb move. Dumb move, girls. Don't get away from your preacher, your youth pastor, your Sunday school teachers, and your good people. That's why I thank God for our Christian school. God's opened a door where we can have a Christian school. Thank God for that. I'm talking about tarrying and letting God open up doors of opportunity for you to serve the Lord. And giving you those opportunities where you can make an impact for Jesus Christ. And the Lord warned me, if you leave now, you're going to be incomplete. If you leave now, there are people that are going to wither and die, and they're never going to become the deacons that I now have, the Sunday school teachers that we now have, the bus workers that we now have, the godly marriages that we now have. It's not going to happen. And so watch out for those voices that try to get you to relax and kind of move back on your commitments, because the voice that you need to hear is somebody preaching the Word of God that spurs you on. And my messages are specific for you to make decisions. And this message is a failure if it doesn't spur you on to make decisions when it comes to going through your open doors. And that's the theme. Go through your open door in 2024. And you say, when does that begin? Right now, September, the new year. And I believe God's going to open up some things for us. I like a couple back here. They're saying to me, hey, do you know Donald Trump's going to be president? I said, why? They said, Biden, he's crazy. But you know why we can have that open door? We can pray for it. And we can pray and believe God that he has opened doors for us for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will stay and be faithful, you can then go through those open doors. Now, perhaps there's somebody here today that has been thinking and planning about leaving the church, or maybe leaving a key ministry in the church, and for no good reason. Perhaps you're listening to voices that are causing you to relax your commitments and your responsibilities, and that the Lord has given it to you. Or perhaps you already have let some key ministries go. There are people that used to be here that aren't here. There are people that used to be in certain ministries that aren't here. Perhaps that's going on. That's the devil's work. This morning, I want to encourage you and give you my vision for a new year of gospel ministry here in September. And let me say something. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. That means they die and go to hell. Kamala, is that her name? Kamala Harris? I heard an interview with her. And she was being interviewed about whether she's ready to be president. She said, oh yeah, I'm ready. But she said, Biden, he's great. You know, he's fine. He can jump up and down. You know, he. If I were Joe Biden now, right in the middle of the message, I might just walk out. Now, I'm not mocking age. That happens. All age people aren't created alike, you know. If you can cut the mustard, it's fine. But I'm just saying, he doesn't need to be there. He's there so Obama can control him. And Megyn Kelly said it. They're saying it on mainstream media. They're saying it now. I've been saying it for a long time. You have to admit it. I was right. Yep. But they're saying it. You say, I don't like you preaching about those things. Well, I like to warn you about the devil. Amen. And what the devil's doing, because God wants me to warn you about what the devil's doing and not be ignorant of his devices. And so I'm just saying to you that we are in a position and we are in a place where God can open doors for us. And Kamala Harris said, she said, you know, I'm ready to be president, she said, but Joe Biden, he's great. He is transforming America. And she was right. He is transforming America into a beast globalist system that will fit in with the Antichrist and the beast. That's what he's doing. And it's not him, it's Obama using him, like Obama said he would do, having a third term, and Obama being controlled by Soros, corrupt money, and all the rest of it. And it's a bunch of garbage. But listen to me, our head is not their head. Our rock is not our rock. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ today. He is the one I'm preaching for today. I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm here to be biblically correct. I'm here to be spiritually correct. It's not a message of accommodation. It's a message of transformation, not to globalist Marxists, but to Jesus Christ and to His way. And we need to go through our open doors in 2024. And you say, how are you going to do that? Well, I want to read the verse again, then I'll give you three things. But number one, look at the verse in verse 9 again. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Don't forget that. Number one, go through your open doors, because the Lord will open doors for you. 2 Corinthians 12, 2:12. It says this: furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was opened unto me. Opened unto me. My wife and I drove from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, all the way back, and got there late Wednesday night back home. Thursday, we went out soul winning. And I was so glad to see Isaac there for soul winning, because I'd been praying for Isaac and his decision about where to go. And so he was there for soul winning. He talked to our youth pastor and he told him about soul winning. I said, I'm involved in soul winning in my church there in Arizona, and I'd be willing to go. I want to go. So he came out and I said, Isaac, I'd like you to go out with me, so I don't call you Alex anymore, because my guy that I trained in soul winning was Alex, but he's already been trained and in his church. And he said, I just want to go with you, pastor, or with somebody in your church, so I can watch, you know, how you guys do this. And we were talking about his church, and one of the things his church has done is knocked on all the doors right in your city in Arizona. What city is that, Isaac? Phoenix area. Okay, and then you've gone beyond that. And he said, they knock on the doors and they have a record. I said, well, we did that. We had something called Operation Under the Blood, and we knocked on all the doors in Scranton and wrote it down in red. You know, we went there. And I thought about, after he said to me, you know, we're going after people now, but I thought after he said to me, we could knock on doors and go after people. Because God opens doors as you knock on doors. And in fact, we were going to a particular visit, and on our way to the visit, I saw an apartment building that Matt and I have reached out to and gone to and visited. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to just, on our first visit, knock on every door in that apartment building, see what happens. Amen. First night back. So we don't, Alex, Isaac will verify this. We went to the first door and knocked on the door. And a guy named Chris came to the door, and he was all ears. He was ready to hear. He opened the door, not like Steve Gary, who, when the pastor first came, he was hiding in the basement. And then eventually he came, and the door opened. Amen. But this guy was right there. He came out, and we started talking to him. I asked him the two spiritual questions, and he said basically he wasn't saved. And I gave him the gospel, and he got saved. You know what? It would be great if you would get saved today if you're not saved, because you need to be saved. I got saved when I was 17. Jesus is the Savior, and you need Him, because He is the Good Shepherd, and He'll guide you the right way, and not guide you into drugs, kids, not guide you into fornication, kids, not drive you into dropping out of school and hanging around and shacking up with somebody and not being married, not making you to have a lousy life. I appreciated Jesse's testimony. Amen. Jesse Kresge, when he gave his testimony from the pulpit. That's what this church is all about. Appreciate this guy's testimony. They're both bus kids. Open doors. Open doors, see? And they were ready, and this guy was ready. He prayed to receive Christ, and that was our first visit. And then we went to other visits, and not all the doors were open like that. But I'm saying you need to go through those open doors, and I did that, and what a blessing that was. And so when we knocked on that door, he opened the door. That's great. That doesn't always happen. Not only that, God opened my mouth to give him the gospel right away, and he listened. And number three, God opened his heart to really listen. If you're here today and you're not listening to me preaching, it's not God, it's the devil that's closing your heart to me. I don't care who you are, because it's not about me. Not about me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is, what your title is. If you're not listening to me preach, it's not of God. Because I'm preaching the Word of God. And you need that. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you are saved, God needs to work through your life to reach others. And so this morning, I'm saying to you, number one, go through your open doors in 2024, because the Lord will open doors for you if you move out for him. And we went from that apartment, and Isaac and I went up to Matt's bus route up to a family up there where a lady named Maria is the mother of some children, and two of those children are Elijah and Noah. You guys know Elijah and Noah, right? Elijah called fire from heaven and Noah built the ark. Is that right? Yeah. They're like, no, we're talking about Elijah and Noah Rodriguez that go to our school. And we were able to give the gospel to these kids because they came on the bus, on Matt's bus route, and they got saved. And one of the kids, Eli, was bringing his Bible to the Christian school. I'm not to the Christian school, the public school. And guess what? They were persecuting him. They were calling him out for it. People knew about it just for bringing his Bible. You know what the public school is? It's not a public school. It's a government institution to brainwash people for globalism. And God has raised up the homeschool movement, the Christian school movement, so that the devil won't take God away from our young people. And I'm just saying to you today that these guys, their mother said, I'm sick of that public school. I want to put them in the Christian school. And thank God for those of you that give towards scholarships and that help folks like this. And these two guys got into school. And when Isaac and I visited them, I didn't know how they were going to respond the first day of school. I didn't know what they were going to. They were like, we love the school. And we love that teacher, Brother Steve Gary. And we this and that. And they were so excited about it. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And the mother we've been trying to reach for Christ with the gospel. And you know how far that family goes back. She said, Pastor, do you know my uncle is Dwayne Young? I said, Dwayne Young, Sonny? Yes. Well, back in the 1970s, Sonny Young was part of this church. And I led his wife Carol to the Lord, and his daughter Tracy got saved through this church. And she's probably 50 years old now and saved in another church, I guess. But I'm like, wow, that is your uncle. She said, yeah, he passed away. And I said, yeah, he smoked a lot, right? Yeah, yeah. She said, I have a problem with that. And she said, a lot of people vape, and that's as bad as smoking. By the way, if your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, that stuff is not good for you. Amen? Amen. But I thought about that, and I thought about where she lived, and Wilda's here today, and Marilla, and so forth. And I remember going with Patty Geary, who was Patty Jordan back then, up there to knock on doors for the bus ministry back in the 1980s, Patty, in Lemco, Kimberly Circle, and in near there where the Hillers were. Remember, we reached the Hillers, and Bobby Hiller's now a pastor. In part because we knocked on doors and had a bus ministry. We stayed at it. And this goes way back then. And now we're reaching out to this family, and it's still going on. I remember Bob Bajeski was a bus captain back then on the A route. And I called Bob, and I we were knocking on a wilderness door, and I said, come on over here. God's opening doors. And he goes, yep, Pastor, and he was over there. And that was part of that bus route, again, that A route. I'm just saying, if you want to have open doors, stay at it and be in motion and be involved in doing these things, and God will bless you. But I want to say that there are many adversaries. That's what it says in verse 9. But you know what it says in Micah 2:13? It says the breaker is come up before them. Can one of the men tell me who the breaker is? It says in Micah 2:13, the breaker is come up before them. Does anybody know who the breaker is in that verse? The breaker is come up before them. Brother Bob?
One of my favorite names for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen! It's one of his favorite names. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the breaker. You know, when I first learned that, Brother Bob, was from Charles Spurgeon. I read him, and he alluded to that. And I was like, that is cool. Now, Bobby likes football. He and I are coming to loggerheads now. It's not good. I don't like that. He's a Penn State fan, and Penn State is good this year. Really good. It's your year, Bobby. No doubt. Steve is a Notre Dame fan, and they're really good this year. We're going to come to loggerheads, too. Might as well get all the men mad at me that I had preached. And I'm a Michigan fan. Sarge is the Sooners. They're always good. So we're not splitting the church this morning. But I'm just saying to you, I used to play football. When I played football in high school, I played on defense, defensive back, you know, stopping the pass. And on offense, I was a fullback and then a halfback. And, you know, you get the ball and say, halfback on six at two, halfback on six and two, hot one, hot two, get that ball. And I would run right into a 300-pound lineman. And, you know, you go down when that happens. Now, we had big linemen, too, but they usually wasn't as big as the guys we played. They had the mountain giants, you know. And I had blazing speed. I won a record for speed when I was younger. I was fast, man, really fast and agile and a runner. That was my thing. But I would run so fast right into those big guys and go down as a young back. What was my problem? I wasn't waiting for the breaker. Who is the breaker? Your lineman that's blocking that big guy. And he opens up what's called, Sarge, a what? A hole or a door of opportunity for you to do something for your team. That's what I'm preaching on today. Who is the big 300 lineman for us? It's the Lord. He's the breaker. He opens opportunities for you, Brother Matt. And what do you have to do to get that? When you get that ball, you have to stop a moment or hesitate a moment to know if the hole is opened up. I had enough speed. If the hole wasn't opened up, I could bounce to the right. I was a little like Blake Corum, Bobby. I mean, he could go. That's what you need to do. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go through the door. Paul said, I'm staying put because there's door open. How about you this morning? How about you this morning? Are you understanding that the Lord will open doors for you? Are you ready to receive the blessings of the open doors for you? I remember Diane Payon. She's here this morning. She came up to me and she said, I go to a Baptist church, but If I'm not wrong, you said they left the King James Bible. She said they left the King James Bible, and she'd had a background in that, and I want to come to this church. She came here, got the assurance of her salvation, began to win souls to Christ and serve God, and she's had many adversaries. Sickness is hitting her, and everything's hitting her because you're serving the Lord. Right? Everybody knows that. Yeah. But she keeps going. And through her, other people are being reached. And that's an open door for us. I think of Isaac. Isaac coming up here is an open door for him to get involved with hockey. And what Isaac told me, he said, you know, I wanna do this, and I wanna play hockey and learn to be better, and I think I can do that up here in northeastern PA. He said, but I don't want to live with those guys if they're not saved. I want to reach them. I care for them, but I want to. And he said, God opened a door for me to live with my uncle and my aunt. And they're like my parents to me, and they can be a help to me while I'm here, and I can serve God better. He wants to be in a local church that's Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. I commend him for that. Putting the Lord first, right? Amen. He's seeking the Lord. That is what we're talking about. God opens doors by giving you people that are looking for the right thing. And if you're doing the right thing, they're going to come to you. And if you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to get the wrong kind of people. And that's not what we want. I got a kick out of this guy, Jose. We knocked on a second door in those apartments, Isaac and I, and a guy named Tom came to the door. And he opened the door, but I knew it wasn't going to stay open long. We got to talk fast. This guy was 6'8" tall. He was a giant. He had tattoos, you know. He said, you ever, you know about Rikers Island? I said, yeah, I know about Rikers Island. You guys know about Rikers Island. He's from Brooklyn. He goes, I was a gangbanger. I'm a Seminole Indian. Part Seminole Indian. I don't think Seminoles are that big, but he must be part Seminole Indian, part giant. And he said, I was at Rikers Island. I was a gangbanger. He said, but I've straightened my life out. He said, I'm now a truck driver. I'm driving over the road. I said, oh, we got truck drivers in our church. He said, yeah, I got a good woman. Drive my truck. And I said, good. I wanted to talk to him about God. I'm trying to figure out how to get it in there now. And he said, I don't need that. He said, I believe in a God. He said, he could be a woman. He could be a man. His name is not important. It's just, you know, you don't need to have a name for God. It's not important. He was talking. He sounded like you a little, Jose, maybe before you were saved. I don't know. But he was talking and telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, now, what'd you say your name was? He says, Tom. Okay, Tom. I said, hey, George. Lord help me. I said, hey, George. Or whatever name I gave him. And he's like, I said, Tom. I'm like, well, you don't like it when I call you George, do you? No, you know, and he didn't say that, but he didn't like it. And I said, God doesn't like it when you don't know his name. I said, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh that died for our sins. By the way, you shouldn't be saying Jesus Christ. Right. When you hit your hand right. And hurt it, you shouldn't say Muhammad or Buddha. Nobody does that. They always say Jesus Christ because he's God. And they're mad at God because they hit their hand. Right? That's right. Sometime you get the door open just a little bit and you got to get it in there, right? Amen. We got it in there and we were polite and we could go to that guy again. Now, sometimes you get doors, they're open and then they shut back up. We had that. And then we went in that building and knocked on all the doors. And Brother Matt told me, he said, Pastor, you got to stop going to that couple up there on the top floor. They told me, if he comes here anymore, I'm going to call the cops on that pastor. And I'm like, oh, man. I said, well, good, we won't go back there. Now the man had prayed to receive Christ, but when I went there, he was like, I don't want to talk to you. And boom, the door is now shut. Well, that happens. Jesus said, I open a door, no man can shut it. But I what? Shut a door, no man can open it. Some of you, you're hearing the word of God. If you shut the Lord out and you don't respond and accept Jesus as your Savior, the Lord may shut your heart. Let your heart be shut and closed, and you'll die and go to hell and die in your sins. That's sad. No, we don't want that, Bobby. That's sad. So I'm saying that the Lord will open doors for you, but you need to understand how that works out. And number two, go through your open doors, not only because the Lord will open doors for you, but because the Lord will open your mouth for you. Psalm 81, verse 10. I had a hero of mine, Dr. Wendell Kempton. He was a great man of God, a great preacher. He came down when we planted this church, and Charles Ware was the pastor, in about 1971. He came down to the Progressive Center where we were meeting, Patty, and he came there and listened, and I saw him in the back of the church just going like that when Charlie was preaching through the book of Romans, verse by verse, expository. And it was good stuff. Our hearts burned within us. And he's going like that. And he came out of there, and we had some college students that were in our church at that time, and they were shaking his hand as he came out, you know, and he was like a rock star to these college students. And he was coming out of there, and I heard one of the college students say, they said, man, you're a great preacher, to Dr. Kempton. They were right. And he goes, well, all I do is open wide my mouth, and God fills it. And that's what it says in Psalm 81, verse 10. It says, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. When you're willing to go through your open doors, and somebody opens the door, you need to be ready to ask them the two spiritual questions and to launch into the gospel, or to be ready, like I did to that guy, for a Holy Spirit given opportunity of what to say. You need to be ready and willing, and God will fill your mouth. These men, when I asked them to preach, they were ready and willing to do it. They could have said, man, no, I don't want to stand in that pulpit. That's tough. I don't want to do that. And it is a challenge to look at all of your beautiful faces. But they took the challenge. And God fills their mouth. There's something about preaching. You have to do it to learn. It's like swimming. You got to get in the water. You can't just get it out of a book, right? Jesus sent his disciples out. They had to learn. And the same with soul winning. You got to get out there, amen? And you got to go out there. And I don't want to be like the American generals. The American generals, they basically say this. You go into battle, here's the battle plan, and I'll watch and you execute it, and you guys get killed, and I'm here. I understand that philosophy. I understand it. But the Israeli generals, starting with a guy like David, they led their armies into battle. Even Saul did that. They led their armies into battle. I don't want to preach to you about open doors, and I'm not doing it. And if I'm too old to cut the mustard and I can't do it, then I shouldn't be preaching to you. I'm saying to you that the Israeli generals lead from the front. And that's what we need to do. You shouldn't be a Sunday school teacher if you're not willing to go out and soul winning. You shouldn't be a preacher behind the pulpit if you're not willing to do that. And to do the Great Commission, which involves training others to do that. And so I'm just saying to you, the Lord will open your mouth. If you open your mouth and you're willing to open your mouth, the Lord will fill it for you, and he will bless you. I am so glad that I decided a long time ago what kind of church I was going to have. I had two choices. One would be a religious lectureship kind of church where people just come and you lecture them on the Bible and so forth and send them out. The other church would be a soul winning generalship where you go out yourself and you witness and you teach people to do that by taking them with you, and then they can train others. And I'm so glad I decided to have a soul winning generalship. Amen. I'm in the Lord's army. Amen. And I want to encourage you, we're in a war. We're fighting a war, man. This is not a Sunday school picnic, although there's nothing wrong with a Sunday school picnic. We like those. But, you know, this is a war. This isn't a party. I was invited to a football game and to eat today. I can't do it right away. I got other things to do. Can't do it. I'd like to. I just can't. I have my priorities. It's like Mrs. Bajewski. She can't eat her Swedish fish. She won't do it. She's made her other priorities now. But Bobby, you counseled me and said, you know, I'm giving her Swedish fish because she likes them back in college. Remember that when you were courting her? But I'm just saying, God will open doors for you. God will open your mouth for you. Now, you open your mouth and God will fill it. Got to put that right. Yes. Right? And lastly, and I want to finish with this, because the Lord will open hearts for you. And here's what it says. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Acts 16:14. Now, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, it says that when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. You see, God has chosen to save you, listen, through somebody giving you the good news about Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're brought up in a Christian home. I don't care if you are brought up in a Christian school. You are not saved by being a good boy or girl. We're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. I was saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying to you that God has to open your heart so that you want to be saved. He opened my heart. Hey, if you don't want to go swimming and there's a swimming pool there and I invite you to jump in the pool and you say, I don't feel like swimming, Pastor. But I take out a lighter and I light your robe on fire. I think you'll decide to go swimming fast. Jesus, listen, young people, listen, don't lose me now. Listen, Jesus can light you on fire and make you see, even if you're 14, 15, I was 17, I didn't want to burn in hell forever. You ever been burned? I didn't want to burn in hell forever. I didn't. But hell is real. And I'm telling you the God's honest truth. And the only person that can save you is the one that died for our sins, went through hell on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He's just as much alive as he's ever been. He saved me when I was 17. He'll still save you today. But you've got to put your faith in him to save you. And believer, you need to be involved in this war effort. Whether it's through giving tithes and offerings, whether it's through praying for those that are going out. Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given to me. So when I open my mouth up, you know, I've had times when I've missed opportunities. Yesterday, I witnessed a lot, Matt witnessed, but I missed those three guys at that pop-ups where Barry works, Barry Finkler works, three guys that you were with. I know I should have given them the gospel. But I'd given it a lot, and I thought, that's enough. I'm tired, you know. I missed it. Don't miss it. People need it. I'm not going to miss this opportunity this morning. And I'm not going to let anybody distract me. Amen this morning. Because you need it. You need to be saved. And then when you get saved, you should come forward and get baptized. Amen. And join the church. Don't put it off. If you know this is the place, you do it. And serve the Lord. And be part of going through God's door in 2024. Open doors in 2024. Because the Lord opens it for you. The Lord will open it. Well, if you open your mouth, the Lord will fill it. And He will open hearts. Thank God He is opening hearts. You have to keep at it, though, to see it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want to